prejudice and discrimination is very straightforwardly handled. If you look at everything we've said about the image of God and of God's love and Jesus dying for everyone, that's everything you need to know from a Christian point of view, from a religious point of view, about what a Christian should think about prejudice and discrimination. To be prejudiced is to prejudge somebody. It is to judge a book by its cover. It is to judge someone before you know them. To discriminate is to put that prejudice into action, is to do something about what you feel. So there are different examples here. There's sexism, where you judge whether somebody would be good or bad at a job depending on whether they are male or female. Sexism. Ageism. You know, so somebody is considered to be stupid because they're very young, or unable to do a job because they're very old. There's the whole issue of homophobia. Homophobia is not giving someone a job or a service because they are homosexual, because they're perceived to be homosexual. So even perceiving somebody to be homosexual and making jokes about them, even though that person isn't, is homophobia. There's the whole issue of racism. And again, remember, racism is not just black and white. It's much more complicated than that. Racism is being prejudiced or discriminating against somebody from another racial group. So that could be somebody from another country or another group within your country. And then there's sectarianism. Sectarianism is being prejudiced against or discriminating against somebody from a different religious group or a different religious denomination. In Northern Ireland, obviously, Catholic and Protestant. Why do people do these things? Why do we be prejudiced against each other? Why do we discriminate against each other? Well, sometimes it's out of greed and out of wanting power. Because if you're the group that's in control of society, then you can get the best jobs for yourself. You can get the best deals for yourself by keeping another group down. Sometimes it feels good to scapegoat other people. Hitler did this in World War II, or just before World War II and during it, where Hitler blamed everything that went wrong in Germany on the Jews. Wasn't our fault, it's the Jews. Blame the Jews. If anything went wrong, you blame the Jewish people. And the Christians actually faced that during the first three centuries of Christianity. The Roman Empire, if anything went wrong, blame the Christians. It's the Christians' fault. People aren't praying to the gods properly because of the Christians. Blame them. So you can scapegoat people. Another problem that we have is the problem of stereotyping. Stereotyping is that we group people together into a class. You know, people look a similar way. We all think they're going to act a similar way. Now, we have to do that to some extent to get through life. Simply think of a football game. You know, if the other team is wearing the same uniform, it's easier to play the game. If you're playing a game of football or a game of hockey, that's why we wear different uniforms, so that we can distinguish by group. Stereotypes can become harmful, though, whenever we use them to scapegoat others, to put others down, to feel better than other people, to make ourselves feel good. Stereotypes can become dangerous, even though at some stage we have to make assumptions to get through life. Whenever our stereotypes begin to put others down, whenever our stereotypes are used to make ourselves feel good and better than others, then we've got a problem. We can sometimes use it to marginalise people. Margins means pushing people out so that they can't get at the centre of life. And we can do that when people have opinions that we don't like. And you find this at the minute, certainly in the whole debate over religion. Some people find religious ideas uncomfortable. A big thing that would be happening in England at the minute would be faith schools, where people who go to Muslim schools seem to be getting a hard time simply because, well, two things are going on. One is stereotyping. Some Muslims are terrorists. Well, let's treat every Muslim as a terrorist. Because Muslims, oh, they're all scary. And so Muslims get stereotyped. But then there's just this whole idea that Muslims have a lifestyle that we don't like. You know, they don't drink alcohol, they don't eat pork, they pray at different times of the year, they don't go to church on Sunday, they have Friday prayers. They follow these five pillars. They're very serious about religion. have some of their women cover their heads in these, you know, they're not like us. Their lifestyle is a lifestyle we don't, that makes us feel uncomfortable. It's not a religion we're used to in Northern Ireland. And in England, it's very secular. People don't like religion very much at all. So these people are very religious. And so we stereotype them. We don't like their lifestyle, so we marginalise them. We don't want them near us. And so there have been some schools in England that have been categorised as un-British simply because they're Muslim. And so that's the whole area of marginalising people to make ourselves feel better. There are ways of dealing with prejudice. One that's very controversial, one that you can argue about, is positive discrimination. And that would be the idea of saying, well, suppose it's very difficult for a black person to get a job in some states in America, which was certainly the case in the 1950s, 60s, right the way up to the present day, arguably, the colour of your skin can prevent you getting a job. Well, what about what happens if the government comes in and says, well, there are 20% of the population in the state of Georgia is black, therefore, every employer must have a workforce which includes 20% black people. 20% of your workforce must be black. That's positive discrimination, because that means on some occasions the best person won't get the job. If I have 100 workers, 20 of them must be black under that rule. So suppose I've got a workforce of 99, I need to employ one more person. The best person for that job is white, but a black person has applied. Well, suppose that black person isn't as well qualified as the white person, but the rules say that 20% of my workforce must be black, I have to give the black person the job. That's positive discrimination. Now, the other side of that is, the positive discrimination is quite often brought in where it wouldn't matter if the black person was easily the best person for the job, you give it to a white person anyway. And that certainly happened in the States. What if the only reason that the black person isn't as well qualified is because the white state has done everything it possibly can to keep that black person out of university and to stop that black person getting the good job? Would it not be fair then to have that rule for positive discrimination? It certainly seems that at times positive discrimination can be a good thing. At other times it can be a bad thing. It depends on where and when you use it. At least that would be my opinion. Certainly in the 60s, in the States, in the 70s, I think it was a good thing for people to try. And there's certainly a case it could be used that way today. But the other thing that we have to remember is that every time the government comes in to make people more equal, it's always treading on somebody else's freedom. Every time that the government sets down a law to say this is what you do so that everybody's treated equally, it's telling businesses and business people how to run their lives. And so we do have to remember that the more power you give government, the less free we are. How many rules do we need? How many instructions from government do we need? Can government ever get rid of prejudice and discrimination? If, because the Prime Minister says prejudice is wrong, will people stop being prejudiced? Can you pass a law that changes people's hearts? Or do schools and churches and youth groups and charities and families and parents, do we need to take some responsibility here and say, look, you know, the government can bring in rules that will stop the worst cases of discrimination. But at some stage, if we want it to disappear, this is something that we have got to work on ourselves. We can't just shrug our shoulders and say, well, it's down to the government, and then complain when the government takes our freedoms away, if we have done nothing to challenge prejudice and discrimination ourselves.